Today, for the Transfiguration, the church has chosen as our first reading this momentous time in Genesis, known as the binding of Isaac, where there's this great trial of faith that Abraham is brought through. And we see in that binding of Isaac that in the end, God provides the sacrifice to spare Isaac. But ultimately, we know, looking towards the future, we know that finally, to spare us, God himself will offer his son, his beloved son, as sacrifice for our own salvation. What he didn't require in the end of Abraham, he truly gives for us. St. Paul notes that, wonders at that in our second reading, saying of God the Father, he did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all. And so how important for us to never forget this most precious gift, this gift of the Son given by the Father, which then is revealed at the Transfiguration, and then that gift given, renewed to us every time in Mass. The Transfiguration, our gospel moment, helps the disciples to understand who the gift is, who Jesus is. Yes, truly man, but also his divine sonship, as the glory of this sonship is revealed through the radiance now shining from his humanity, this gift of Jesus, truly God and truly man. And why? Why the giving of such a gift? Because through Jesus' tremendous paschal mystery, his death and resurrection, we will be saved. And so in Mass, these two realities of the gift are absolutely present and brought to us again, though now veiled in the gift of sacrament. Of course, we have then Jesus. He is the one whom we receive. Jesus, truly God and truly man, seated at the right hand of the Father, here with us, truly present, that in receiving him, we would be saved and sanctified. And what always happens at Mass is always this Father's great gift of his Son, given to us, given for us, for our salvation, and that's renewed in every Mass. So important for us to never forget the gift. And so we've been doing a series throughout the last several months called Ars Celebrandi, the art of celebrating. And we've looked at what is the art of celebrating for all the faithful at Mass. And so we looked at in the fall the Liturgy of the Word, different elements of art of celebrating that, and then later on the Liturgy of the Eucharist, and then the communion rite as well. And then last month we had Deacon Jesse and Father Anthony give a kind of behind-the-scenes tour as part of Ars Celebrandi, becoming more familiar with the items, all the preparation for Mass. This month we're looking at Ars Celebrandi with the key virtue of reverence. That reverence is an important part of the art of celebrating Mass. Reverence is that honor, that respect, that esteem heightened by awe, you know, that we have at Mass. It's an interior disposition that we have, but then it's manifested by our exterior actions and conduct, and then indeed our exterior actions and conduct, they redound back to help strengthen our interior reverence. Reverence is not opposed to joy. Reverence is opposed to superficiality, to not recognizing the gift, and to not really responding to that gift with our whole hearts. Why do we have this virtue of reverence in Mass? Well, I think first of all it points to that we're in a relationship here. There's reverence because there's a someone that we are involved with in Mass, God himself. And so we have reverence, first of all, simply in justice to God and recognizing who he is and the incredible gift that he's giving us. And then we have reverence as well to help us worship with integrity of heart, to let it be a wholehearted worship of God. As it says in the Psalms, you know, a humble and contrite heart you will not refuse. And so the truth of our hearts is an important part of our worship, and reverence helps us with that. And then finally, reverence that spirit of awe, of honor, of respect that helps us to then receive the gift fruitfully, to receive the graces that God wants to give us. And also it helps in our intercession, in our prayer for others who aren't here, but for whom we are praying and kind of representing ourselves here at Mass. Last week, I proposed that maybe this Lent, one of the key things we could do is learn to accept better the mortifications, the dying to self that's already kind of built into our life, that could be a part of this reality of Lent. This week, what I would propose to you is another kind of dimension of our Lenten practice, which a spiritual director once bluntly told me. He said, "Matt, this Lent, why don't you start by doing better the things you should be doing already?" And I said, "Oof, okay, all right. Thanks, Father Barron. I will do that, Father Dan Barron." And so, you know, the thought is, we're here at Mass week after week, maybe some of us day after day, you know, and this is such a key foundational part of our life. You know, why don't we keep growing in our own reverence at Mass, growing in our art of celebrating Mass by deepening this spirit, this virtue of reverence. As a matter of fact, right now, all the priests of the Archdiocese are reading through the general instruction for the Roman Missal. It's kind of an activity the Archbishop has asked us to do as we kind of read through that to help us to continue to grow in our own reverence and in our own celebration of the liturgy. And so it's something that even priests are looking at. And so how fitting that the entire body of Christ be mindful of that as well. And so I just want to walk through what I think are some different ways that we can manifest as well as cultivate this important virtue of reverence. One of the first things to mention is how important it is to be spiritually and mentally prepared to enter into this great sacramental mystery. You know, we ask that we'd have a spiritual vision. That's what we asked in our opening prayer. And a key part of being prepared and ready for that is to get to Mass on time, which means to actually get there before Mass begins, so that I can set aside the cares of the world. I can start to turn. I can do some prayer to help bring me to this worship in the right headspace and heart space. We actually, if you could show it before Mass, maybe if you don't get here often before Mass, we even put a prayer up to help people enter into that and to enter into the spirit of what are we about during Mass. Thank you. Now, of course, you can use your own prayers and devotions, but it's so important to come early, to be ready, instead of coming in rushed or missing certain parts of Mass. I remember Father Daniel Leonard, who's now the rector of our seminary back when he's at Christ the King, he once told the people, "If you think the Gloria is always our opening hymn, you're arriving too late," you know? So part of reverence is to be here early, ready, and not rushed. Conversely, it's also staying for the entirety of Mass. That's a part of reverence as well. Never forget the gift. You know, and reverence deals with relationship, and that means relationship with God, but also relationship and that respect for the body of Christ. I'm not just here individually, but a part of this body brought together in the Spirit. Now, of course, we totally understand there can be emergencies. There can be rough days, hard days getting here. And always, I'm so appreciative of all the people that come to worship. But let's try to create that virtuous habit of being on time and prepared and staying throughout all of our worship. That external respect can help with our interior reverence. Another thing, a very simple thing, but just good to remind you, is that a genuflection, this kneeling as we enter into pews or leave them, is another beautiful exterior sign of an interior reverence and recognition that our Lord Jesus is here in the Blessed Sacrament. You know, that's something we actually we're implementing more, that even coming into the sanctuary, that's an important time as well to do a genuflection. And so just that simple bodily gesture of kneeling with one knee is just another way, a bodily cue of the Lord is here before me. And so there's actually kind of an interesting tradition. The tradition is that if, let's say, there's some human person I want to give respect to, you genuflect with your left knee. But for the divinity, you genuflect with your right knee. And so I encourage you to do that. Maybe another realm is we're up the mountain, so to speak, with the transfiguration in Mass. And so important for us to be focused on the Lord, so we don't want kind of the intrusions of the world coming in. And so what I'm speaking of are those blessed devices that we all have. How important for those to be silenced, to have those shut off. We don't need to hear La Cucaracha or something, you know, in the middle of Mass. And so please learn how to use your phone well, that it will be silent, or if it needs to be, simply turned off. Or if that defies your abilities with your phone, simply don't bring it. Maybe another part of the soundscape, if I could call it that, at Mass, is the fact that we have a lot of younger parishioners as well. You know, and kids are a joy and most welcome, indeed always welcome. And their noises are a sign of the life in a parish. And it's so great to have more and more young families here with us. I know one dad of a young parishioner jokingly calls one part of the church the toddler Thunderdome. And I think that's a beautiful way to describe it. And so I'd simply say, we love the children and the noises, and please, no concern about that. But if Junior's getting way out of hand, please help your fellow brothers and sisters worshiping, you know, to just take a little time out with your little one, you know, in the gathering space or in the calming room, and then just come right back. Conversely, for others who don't have kids, let us be thankful. Let us be supportive of our younger generation that is showing up. You know, these families face a much more challenging world, much more adverse to the faith than maybe what many of us grew up in. And the reality is so many of their peers have chosen to abandon the faith. And yet they are here with us. And maybe they're the ones who are going to reach out to those peers, to those of our own family who aren't here with us. And so let's really support them and always give them encouragement in their presence here. Another realm that I think is important is having appropriate and dignified clothing. It's so important as a way to show that reverence, that honor, that respect, that esteem heightened by awe. Dress is a universal way for humans to express the importance of an occasion. And actually, dress shows up right in our gospel today, right? In the Transfiguration, doesn't it show in all the gospels how the Lord's own clothes have this brilliance, this radiance for the disciples to understand part of who he is? And so our Lord understands how clothing manifests the importance, the reality of what is happening. Now, America, especially in Colorado, take on a bit more of a casual stance in their dressing. And in one way, it can be really good, rejecting pretense, maybe a certain just kind of Western practicality. But sometimes it can get too far. More formal dress can be a good way to remind ourselves. It's kind of a visible reminder for me to stay focused on the importance of what is happening. And indeed, how I dress can even be a help to those around me as a cue, you know, of this is something important and God is here. It can be also, I think, a beautiful way to simply honor and respect the gift of God. Always remember the gift. And I think maybe making that choice to dress a little better can be a fruitful way to indeed die to ourselves, maybe a bit of a kind of cult of comfort in our society, to die to our preferences and do something for the sake of a greater good. Now, maybe if you don't have a great knowledge of what's happening in Mass, you know, if there's not a great awareness of that, and we have kind of poor Peter, he always, you know, he's kind of role of speak up first, and so he usually says something wrong. And so he calls Jesus rabbi, which, you know, isn't incorrect, but woefully insufficient. You know, a kind of a sign like he doesn't fully get it. In all of us, priests and faithful, deacons, everybody, we're all growing in our awareness of the incredible mystery and richness of Mass. If you don't have much formation in that, you know, there's ways that you can do that. You know, we had a little while ago the veil removed video. I don't know if you remember that video we showed back in the fall that helped us see the spiritual reality. Well, it turns out that the veil removed people, they have created a little supplement for it called the Little Yellow Book, which gives just a day by day, one page by one page, mini reflection to help unpack the glories, the blessings of Mass. This could be a wonderful way for you to grow in your awareness of what is really happening here, which will then build that fruitful reverence. And so these books, you could, of course, order on their webpage. We also have these in our gift shop as well. And then a final point, finally, right? A final point on reverence is that really both singing and silence can help us to express and grow in reverence. Singing is a way to express our hearts, to inflame our hearts, to express our love and recognition of who is here and what we're about. And so St. Augustine, writing about the power of singing, he says, he who sings praises, these praises to God, not only sings, but also loves him whom he is singing about. So singing can be this beautiful gesture of love towards God. And he goes on to say that singing belongs to one who loves. And so a heartfelt singing is a beautiful way to show reverence, to honor God. And then conversely as well, silence. Silence is a beautiful time of a restful communion with God. Those different silences we have throughout the liturgy are beautiful moments to again come back and focus on the Lord, to commune with him, to pray with him in your heart. And so, again, from the great St. Augustine, speaking to God, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." And so that silence is a beautiful time for us in that reverence to rest in the Lord. So my brothers and sisters, you know, Ars Celebrandi, the art of celebrating, includes many dimensions, and reverence is certainly one of them. That honor, that respect, that esteem, that recognition of who is here and what we are about. Reverence is not opposed to joy, but to superficiality. May we grow in a deepening reverence, that we do that, in, first of all, in justice to God, but so also that our worship would be a worship with a well of fullness and integrity of heart. And also, finally, so that our own participation, marked by reverence, would be fruitful, receiving all the graces God wants to give us and also helping us in our prayers for others who aren't here, prayers for the world, prayers for salvation for all.